Hey, good morning. I think this is everyone because Kurt is out this week.
Hey guys.
Hello, everyone.
Hello,
I shared the wrong screen. Sorry. Let me try that again. Okay. I guess, Jakob, do you want to finish talking about the broker upgrade before we move on?
yeah, we can start with that. That's fine. Yeah, so we have some changes that's accumulated on test. But tell me more about the breakage and death.
Yeah, I think it's just the change that you put in that you said you ch made a change last night because I tested with Alan yesterday and everything was good. But I think that this request that Sydney Sweeney, sorry, this request that we did with Alan this morning. That he shipped it and then it went into a loan condition on reshare. I think that that is breaking the crust because he said he tried to complete this and I like he already shipped it, but it's still in expected supply here. I tried to cancel it and he said I should have gotten a completed message back, but I'm not seeing that. Like this got all messed up after he shipped it, but it didn't come through as shipped here.
Okay. Can you pull up the log from the broker just so we can take a look? There
Yep.
could be. I'd rather fix this than omit this change. I think it's probably. I mean, this
Do you
whole. Yeah, I mean, this whole ticket is. So he's shipped it, right? It's gonna be loaned. Yeah, the only change we do is now to make it show, to make that cost show, we just append a loan and another loan condition. So yeah, go to the next message. That's the accepted
Oops.
message.
Okay, wait, sorry. You want me to go from this one to
Yeah, so you're gonna
down here?
see that it appends the loan condition.
Yeah, because it he changed the price to 80 and the delivery cost. But I'm trying to see where you said there's a condition. It did go to a loan condition. I saw that, and we could accept or reject. I tried to cancel it, but yeah.
So there must be something in the research that assumes.
Well, he, I think that the condition came through on the reshare side after he shipped it. So I think that's the, like, we can't agree or reject conditions if he already shipped the request.
Yeah. And I just wonder what should we do in this case, actually. We can put a switch right now around the whole offered cost transfer, delivery cost handling. That's what I would do. I wouldn't, because what we had on test was partially done anyway, right? So the whole notion is that we wanted to show the shipped cost, because they're gonna set the shipped cost when they ship from Alma, and that cost would never show on the reshare side.
Right. I think you were trying to see if we translated their shipped delivery cost into offered cost if it would update the reshare agreed cost, right?
Yeah, and then we got a confirmation from Jason saying that it's only gonna update if there is a loan condition set. So that's why, I mean, it needs both, right? So like otherwise Fisher is gonna ignore it. So that change has no effect. So I wouldn't leave it because it would just have no effect. So either we finish this or we just scrape it or put it
Oh,
up.
but the loan condition will create a new loan condition which won't be agreed to.
No, that's not what we've seen.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
Interesting.
can you pull up the transaction again?
This one?
The request is accepted condition. That's not the
It
problem.
did.
The problem is
Yeah.
that you see it, there is some breakage in Mother Earth with that state handling. It puts it back to expects to supply. So there must be some code path, basically. I mean, when it sees a condition, it just ignores the state and it just assumes that it's expected to supply.
Well, that's only completely terrible.
Yeah, that's stupid. But let me put it behind some setting, Valerie, so we can turn that off and on while Jason and I figure out what to do about this.
Yeah, I think the thing that Trove is particularly interested in getting is the change for, I'm trying to find it here. Oh my gosh. Add this maximum cost note. And that seems to be working nicely. And it shows up with cost in their UI first, so they know it's a paid. This is the one that they would like push to prod. So I just want to make sure that we don't include something that might cause a hiccup otherwise.
Yeah, but we don't want to be selective. I mean, we either upgrade or not. So I think we need to, if we're not happy with how this feature works, because I don't have branches. It's gonna be insanity when we get to the point where we have some stuff in prod that is not on test and so forth. So I'll put a flag for this shim behavior for this crosslink 163.
Yep.
So we can disable it, and we'll do it on test and dev. So you can have like a final. It's gonna be a quick change. So just do a quick test, and then if we're happy, we can upgrade prods. The setting is gonna be disabled by default. And then we'll re-enable that, and we'll try to figure out what to do with this. Because I assume we still want that delivery cost to show up on the research side. Or not?
I'm trying to remember what we saw with Ellen yesterday. Like I'm trying to let me just see, because I just want to
Well,
make sure I'm doing
you
this
saw
in my.
nothing, right? That's the thing. You saw nothing because you just saw things in the message, but that's not going to show up in the UI.
Right,
So
yeah,
that's.
it didn't update the agreed cost in on the reshare side, even if
Exactly.
they sent that. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So that change that I made will make it update, but we're seeing a bug in Mother Earth, which essentially makes it go back to the expected supply state, which is not what we want. We want the state to be. I mean, can you go again? Let's just double check. I mean, can you go back to this broker log, this event log, just so we are clear that there's no this
I'm
long
sorry,
message.
where
Yeah, can you search for the long message again?
yeah,
Yeah, then we
this is the first one.
this is
So
the
this
first
is,
long message.
yeah, and this is when he shipped it.
This is when he shipped it and he said the delivery cost on it. So that's the message that we
Yeah.
received. Then if you scroll down to the next match. This is the message that we are just about to send out. And then the final one is the patched message for reacher, right? So that's gonna have the loan condition set to other, and that's gonna have the offered cost set, you see, up there above that.
Offered
So
costs.
that's
I mean,
what it
is it?
does, right? That's what it does to make sure that Reacher shows it. But for some reason, after receiving that message, Reacher decides to go back to the expected supply state. So Jason needs to fix that, but I think until we fix it, let's just disable it in the broker so we have some control. So I don't think there's anything wrong the broker does, but that just puts Reacher in a weird state. Because that's the problem, right? Because you don't want it to be an expected supply. Of course, it's in the loan state.
Right, yeah, it should be, this should be like in local circulation or shipped so that we can receive it, but
Exactly. It should be
yeah.
shipped. Yeah, so we need to create a ticket for the broker for the promoter rest to fix this. But let me just put it behind the setting because I would like us to update prod soon. We already have too many changes, I think, kind of lined up, and it's gonna be a headache figuring out if something goes wrong.
Okay, so you're gonna hide that.
Yeah, I'm gonna put a setting in that's disabled by default so that when Ian upgrades, he doesn't need to worry about this. And there's not gonna be any behavior, right? Like, we're not, like, this ticket is not going to be completed. I'm gonna
Yeah,
close that
that's
ticket,
okay.
but before we enable that, we need to fix that state handling in ModRS. So I'll
Okay.
create a ticket for Jason to look into the ModRS stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. About this ticket, one other thing that's maybe let's just discuss quickly. The whole notion of this delivery cost, right? So as we discussed with Alan, we've got this maximum cost being set on the initial request, and then we do the cost negotiation via the offered cost. And that's fine. That works okay. From the Alma side, when Alma acts as a supplier, they don't have a way to set the offered cost. So that's what Alan's gonna try to make them add. So we should just, I guess, wait for this to nothing. But what they can do now is set that shipping cost when they loan. And that's what we do, right? We convert that to this offered cost so it shows up. At some point we discussed, and I think Jason proposed that when we ship, so we do the cost negotiation, and then at some point we decide it's okay, we ship. And I think we had this conversation whether at this point we should set the final cost as the delivery cost to kind of like stop the transaction, right? So like we had all this negotiation going on, and then at some point we ship it. And at that point, we sure will not send anything, right? It's just sort of implicit that the final cost for the transaction is the last offered cost.
The last agreed offered cost.
Less agreed offered cost. So should we change that, Mallory? Like, if we change this, if we have Richard also sent the final cost during shipping, we'll have it show in Alma, I assume. And I'm almost certain it will show as the shipping cost. Sort of my initial reluctance to do it is that we don't have any protection if the supplier decides out of the blue to set this field to whatever. Because with the whole negotiation, we ensure that it is agreed by ensuring that we have this agreed notification message. So that was my sort of concern with this, right? So if
Well, the
suddenly,
requester could flag that. So if the supplier, so the software would only set that delivered cost to the latest agreed condition. But if for some reason there's a rogue tenant, but then it's going to set whatever to whatever, right? If it's just because they're just completely sending arbitrary messages, right? But in that case, the requester knows also what was agreed. And so the UI could be made to flag it if the delivered cost is not equal to what was agreed.
Well, but you're thinking Reacher mostly, right? But what about Alma? Because in Alma, when you ship, you can set the shipping cost to anything you want. There's
Right. And so
nothing.
if they set it to something other than what was agreed, when it's received, that can be flagged if it's received by reshare. But now if it's
Well,
Alma going to Alma,
flagged how? Like, we would need to error this out.
you could
Like, we
also just
don't.
reject it entirely, sure.
Sure. Well, that's the problem, right? That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, if we let them set it during shipping, we would need to add some additional validation that it is actually the one that was agreed before. And if not, we will need to fail it. Problem is, those that ALMA ISO 86262 implementation is so bad that they don't see errors.
And also, I don't even know because that protocol doesn't have any kind of acknowledgement of anything, right? A lot of the time, it just sends a message and hopes it gets there. So, is it maybe the
Well,
case that when you send that ship message, that there's no way for it to reject it?
we can return an error confirmation, right? So that we can do. So if we got a ship message from Alma with a delivery cost set to something totally crazy, and so then we decide, hey, we add validation and ensure to ensure that this final cost actually matches what's been agreed. We can narrow the error that message, that ship message.
But Alma will ignore the error.
Well, that's the thing. I don't see, like, it doesn't like just ignore it. But I think what Alan told me is that it doesn't really show on the transaction. Like, you can dig it out from like the logs, the protocol logs, whatever they have, like the equivalent of protocol logs they have, but it's not gonna show on it, like the transaction is zeroed out or the transaction didn't ship. So they.
This won't happen during normal use. Like, someone's gonna be messing with it to cause this. Although I guess you're, like
No,
you say, you're in Alma, they can edit it, so they
it's going to
could do
happen
that.
during normal use all the time because in Alma, they don't have any negotiation thing going on, right? I mean, they can just set that
Yeah.
code to whatever. So we will need to be, like, if we do this, we need to be extra careful that we actually validate it because it could be just a human error, right? You know, putting $300 instead of 30, right? I mean, that's going to happen all the time. So, yeah.
So we need to solve that regardless of whether we set the delivered cost. Or
Well,
you're saying that they can't set the offered cost.
so that's why I like this solution more, like not send this delivery cost at all from Reacher, not allow this sort of this final stamping mechanism at all. Instead, transfer this delivery cost into offered cost so that the researcher sees this, like the operator sees this in the in you know as the condition, right? So you can at least message the supplier, hey, what did you send to me? Like, this cost is crazy. That sort of stuff.
We just got to find out why it's changing state.
Yeah. Okay,
But
now you.
I'm still surprised that it's actually updating the loan condition because I didn't, as far as I know, it only responds to this stuff by adding loan conditions. I didn't think there was any way to update one aside from to either agree to it or cancel the request.
What do you mean by adding? I mean, it's not adding, right? I mean, it is creating a wrong condition.
Oh, okay, that's intentional. Okay. That's
Yeah. Yeah, so basically with this setting on, well, with this feature on, the broker is both creating an offered cost field, but also creating a other loan condition to make Richard show it.
right.
Right? So that piece works. So you can see that condition, you see, you know, that it's there, but then the state gets messed up
But
for whatever reason.
I'm still not sure how that will work ever though, because if this $80 was sent as a shipped message, like there's no way to like agree or disagree after the request has already been shipped from Alma.
No, it's at this point it's gone, right? So you can
So
only
like,
see it.
so it would just come through and update the agreed cost with their delivered cost, but it wouldn't actually show us any conditions. It would just be in shipped. Like, it would be
That's
presumed
right.
that you accepted the change in cost, even though technically you may not have. I mean, they could have negotiated it through a chat and then agreed on what they were going to put in the delivery cost when they ship it.
Well,
Is that
consider what that's right, but consider what happens now. If Alma is the supplier, they're gonna set the shipping cost to some value, right?
right?
And that value is never does not gonna show up on the requester. So you can have a supply from Alma for $80, and the requester doesn't even know. So we need to deal with that somehow, presumably.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, yes, there is no backing out from it because they ship it already.
But at least we'll know what it is that they
At
put in
least you know
there.
what it is, and then you cannot like not send them a message saying, hey, that cost is crazy. Like, we didn't agree to it, right? So at least you can react to this. Right now, you don't even know.
Thing is, though, okay, they've noticed the costs are messed up. They don't have any facility to modify them, do they?
Right, that was on
Well, they
purpose.
that's right. Well, they can ship it again
So just cancel the
with
request
it.
entirely.
Yeah, well,
Just
cancel.
create a
I
new
don't
one.
know. Can they, Mallory, if they can like repeat shipment from Alma if they make some mistake? Is that
I
worth?
don't. I can't imagine that that's a thing, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess then they just cancel and create another request.
At least we have the re-request thing so they can create a request based on a canceled request. That'll make that slightly easier, but that sounds
Yeah.
annoying.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Well, but what I like my assumption is that we need to surface that information somehow, right? Because right now we have a situation where Alma can supply with some cost X, and that cost never ever gets shown on the research site.
But it'll show up in reporting and they'll get billed for it.
Yeah,
That's not good at all. That's not
exactly.
good at all. No one likes this.
I'm actually quite surprised, Mallory, that this is like so low on their wish list because this
They
is
haven't seen the
nuts.
bills yet. That's true. We are working on getting the reporting into shape, but yeah, the Alma stuff is just all kind of messy, unfortunately. I think they've kind of accepted it to some extent, but it's yeah, not great. As soon as someone gets charged 300 for 30 and they have no available way to kind of back that out and they have to like leave a note for their accountant or something, that it all of a sudden the priority is going to go up.
What we could do here just to make this a bit like it's a hack, but okay, look at the
It's all
screen,
hacks.
right? It's all hacks, but look at the screen. On this screen, let's forget about the bet state for a moment. I'm sure Jason can fix it. There's probably some assumption there that puts it in expect to supply. So let's assume this is in a loan state. So that was what we are going for with the stiglet, right? It's in a loan state. There is a condition that shows the cost. The agreed cost shows, so you can actually see it. You can see what the Alma supplier charged you for this thing, but you never agreed to it. The system just assumed it agreed because like there's no way with Alma to do any sort of negotiation, right? They can only set it during shipment, at which point it's too late for negotiation. What we could do in addition to that, we could put a note on that condition that says something like automatically agreed, supply, like not, you know what I mean? Like something that
It's a
explains, hey,
presumed agreement.
yeah, it presumed agreement. Like there was no negotiation. The supplier just said it. So that they, when they get those situations where the supplier charged them something outrageous or something bad by mistake, they can at least have some sort of audit mechanism.
Right, they
The
won't be able to
mechanism of it
paint.
being in the note. the mechanism of it being in the note, but yeah, at least it's
Well,
some way to
better
differentiate
than
between them,
nothing,
between the
right?
other requests. Exactly, yeah, it's
Yeah,
something.
and also I'm sort of expecting that it's sort of a temporary measure until Alma gets the conditions, but we'll see when that's gonna happen, right? Or it happens at all. I don't know because what's really missing here is the ability for Alma to set the overhead cost. That's what we want, but that needs development on their ends, and I think Alan's working on for them to see if that can be
And to
added.
agree to a cost.
Well, so here's the thing, right? I think the way he wants them to, like the when he the way he wants to structure this proposal is that there's gonna be an implicit agreement. So basically, when they send a condition, we kind of agree to that condition. It doesn't
Like
stop
either you
processing.
cancel the request or you agree to the
No,
condition.
I'm sorry, shit. I'm telling you bullshit. No, I think the way it's gonna be done is that they will extend it so that it's possible to set those conditions before shipment, and it's gonna pause the transaction implicitly. So the Alma side will wait for an actual notification from Richard that says agreed. Always. There's gonna be just one mode of operation, right? Unlike Rishka, where you had those two modes, you could send a condition that requires approval versus one that doesn't. They would have
Well,
just one.
actually, so in reshare, that checkbox. So first of all, we made it so you can't use that checkbox. We grayed it out when there's a cost. But the way it had always been working was that if you have it, if you check the thing to not wait for agreement, it still shows up as not being agreed to, but you just go through anyways. So I kind of like that at least when you use that mechanism, that it's still recording the fact that you never explicitly agreed to this.
Well, Jason, we can work with it because we can. There's this magic note that can be set in Richard. I think it says something like supplier assumed, cluster assumed supplier agreement, something like that. I wonder if we just set that note, whether that's going to show.
Right, what I'm
Okay.
saying is, in that situation, it just doesn't mark it as agreed. It adds the condition and it's just there. And it's like, there's a condition on this loan. You never agreed to it, but the supplier put it there and just went ahead and shipped it, and there you go. So it's basically just information, because before there were costs, there was really nothing that was happening automatically. It was just annotation of this request that, hey, they don't want you to let this leave the library or whatever.
It's the same, right? I mean, you kind of, yeah, well, it's cost on our annotation, doesn't matter, but you've agreed to something that you need to be aware of what you agreed to. Guys, let's not spend too much time on it. Mallory, I think what we should do is I'm gonna just put it behind a setting so we can flip that on and off. Create a ticket for Jason to look into the state problem, but I think maybe you should create a ticket to figure out how we want it. Like for now, knowing Alma's limitations, knowing that they can only set that cost during shipments, at which point it's too late for any negotiation. What should the research side show? Like, should we show it as it is on this ticket, maybe with some annotation that this was automatically agreed, or should we do something about this? We cannot do anything in terms of negotiation, but at least we can show it differently so that the user knows, okay, so this was shipped with that cost. And I need to be aware of that.
Okay. I will work on that. This might require some involvement from Trove just to make sure that I don't want to go down a path that isn't useful or like that they won't like or something. So I'll try to get their input on this as well.
Sounds good.
But so if you do put this behind a flag while we work out the kinks, can the broker be deployed to prod such that they get the max cost note in Alma?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we did not see any issues, right? Besides
No.
this. I
Right.
mean,
Yeah.
there's been a lot of changes, so that's why I just wanted to make sure that, but you've tested in prod and, oh, I'm sorry, in test, not only today, but also some yesterday and some other times, right?
I tested in dev with Alan, but Trove did see this in Trove test. So I think that they were able to test this as well. I don't have a partner in Trove test.
Got it. Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
that I'm not concerned about that one, to be honest. This is peanuts. I'm more concerned about those other tickets that we have in review. So one of them is the 165. So that is the big change.
I didn't ask them to test this. Like, I'm not sure what they would see differently. But let me.
Take a look at those transactions. So these are some of the failures from prod, right? So in prod we have a bunch of failures still. Those transactions, they have failures that show up after notifications. And that's because the state is wrong. This particular one is where Alma sent a notification without any state value. Status is empty. So we currently cannot fail that. And there is a similar problem with the Reshare one, I think, the other link. So this is an error from Alma. Of course, there's no details as always, right? So we need to do a guesswork here, but it's pretty obvious what goes wrong. You know, Reshare hard codes that stutters the notifications. It always says that request received. And that's okay. But the reason it doesn't come up all the time is that you usually not send notification messages before you ship. But once you start sending notification messages after you ship, this all goes to hell.
Yeah, I thought that they could still send notifications and shipped. It was when it got to loaned that it was, or sorry, complete that was the problem. But
Oh,
this.
that's a problem too, but that's where you
Oh,
send it
okay.
from. That's where you, well, there's nothing we can do about that, right? I mean, Alma doesn't
Yeah.
allow sending notifications, but this particular one go up a little bit. You know, you they, oh, this is actually an interesting case because this sends an overdue.
Okay, so let's see. Request is overdue.
And that's because I think I put a, just read that ticket. There's an explanation about why this happens. Yeah. But basically, long compute is not the only. So long is the same. So like if you try to message after long, it can't break.
Okay. Okay, so I think maybe I need to just do more testing and make sure nothing's like try to do some of these actions that were recorded here.
It's gonna be extremely hard for you to test this though, because you would need to end up in a situation like this and have Alma on one side. It's kind of tricky actually. I think I put it
Yeah.
in there. So I think, to be honest, we have unit tests for that. I'll just update prod and pay attention to the errors on the Slack channel.
Okay.
Because it's Yeah, I don't know if you can test it. Like you would need to, let me just think about this. Maybe the second case you can test. Yeah. Do you have a way to do like a quick test with Alan or somebody with Alma? We can, I guess it's okay to be safe.
I can try. You said I should be able to do this second thing.
I think so. You just need to. You need to do is you need to send a request from Alma, ship it from Richard, and then start sending messages.
Okay.
Notification messages, right? And take a look, like just see if you even receive them in Alma.
Okay. I can.
I'll put some notes about how you can test it on that ticket. I think that's easiest, okay? So let me so
Okay.
let's keep it in review. I'll put some notes, I'll put a comment for you there, and yeah, I think it's probably a good idea just to test this.
Okay.
Yeah, and this one that you cannot review, I don't think. But that we this is this annoying missing ancestor events error that we get on prod all the time. So that we should also update because of that, because it's just, you know, pollutes the whole.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that one is comes up kind of a lot. Okay. All right, so I guess Ian, like bottom line, gonna try to do a little bit of testing for 165 before and Jakob's gonna hide 163 before we can upgrade prod.
Are we gonna go for that today?
Yeah, I'm gonna add a setting Ian to the to that. So like from my perspective, it's ready to go. And but you just wait. I guess Mallory, I don't know if you're gonna be able to test today with Alma. If not, then maybe you should wait until tomorrow.
Okay.
It's up to you.
I'm gonna try. I just heard from Tim Jackson that he got the broker set up again, so hopefully I can test with him.
Nice.
Ian, I know that you had a few that you had posted on the reshare channel about wanting to discuss what it would take to get reshare stripes to work with ransoms. And I don't know if you want to get into that or lead that
Sure. I don't know a ton about the adjustment of stripes, but I just know that there's a customer need, which is the ZFL folks are running Reshare and Folio on the same system, and they need to be running Ramsense. So we need to figure out some way to do that for them, I guess. David I is working on, getting a system set up for them, but he's stuck on incompatibility with Stripes Reshare, I guess. So my question is that something, what would it take, and how do you want to prioritize it, I guess?
I'm not sure what that would take, but
I
I
summarize it on the channel.
oh,
I
okay.
might be faster to skim than for me to ramble through it. So, like, basically, we have to try to find out exactly what's going to be involved because it. depends what they change, depends what's breaking or what's not. I mean, I can just add the dependencies and see what happens, but
Well,
it might just work.
that might be worthwhile to just test out. So maybe we should just create a ticket for this, and Mallory can decide their priority. You know, if you want to schedule it now, next week, 2 weeks, never. I don't know.
Okay.
So,
That
do you want
sounds
me to
good.
make an issue for this?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Quesadilla
Please.
for life.
Okay. Yeah. I think in terms of priority, I think there's a few things that would be ideal if we could get. I'd like to get the last upgrade for Trove done so that we can kind of like quit messing with their system. And so to me, that's like also a priority, but I'll talk to Deborah and Tara about how pressing this seems from the German perspective. Ian, otherwise I wanted to let you know that Trove says that they verified the system email for Trove again, the do not reply. So hopefully that's ready for you for next steps or whatever you were waiting for them to verify.
Yeah, I can switch them over to that now. I'll test that and switch it. I was sending the emails too far around the world, and maybe it was making it slow, so we're gonna try that. Other than that, I'm just getting back from vacation. We did some changes last week, and I formalized some of them yesterday, like the scripts that fire the timers are a configurable little app thingy that runs in Kubernetes now instead of on a screen session in a server. And I set up an auto vacuum, or I set up a manual vacuum to run nightly. And David I is working on separating out the log groups, which is a prerequisite for doing more fine-grained error reporting on test. There's a limitation in AWS on how many subscriptions you can have, which is what we use to send the logs to Slack. And you could sort them in the thing that posts them to Slack, but then I would be sending like every log to that, and I don't want to do that because it might cost money. So we're going to wait for the log groups to be separate and then add more reporting.
Cool, thanks. And Ian, not to like, I know you're just getting back from vacation, so I'm sorry to even have to ask, but could you create these three tenets today? They
Sure.
one of them is trying to go live on the 21st, and they have a few things they need to configure today, which is their 20th, before they can send the email. So
Okay.
Thank you. Jason, how are things going?
I got one last question about the ZFL thing.
Oh, yeah,
When
sorry.
you're checking with Deborah and Tara, maybe see, like, one thing to consider is, depending on how annoying it is to switch to Ramson and how much change is required, it would really be nice if we didn't have to backport those changes to 118. And in general, it's unfortunate that we are running three versions in production. And so if maybe we could deal with Ramsons in 119, and then the way that ZFL gets Ramson support is to upgrade to 119.
Yes, I can try to discuss that with them as well. Although we don't really have a release 119 right now.
Well, that's part of it, right? But yeah, maybe when we're in a place that we kind of have that functionality that Trove needs, that's about the time that we should start shoring up things and making sure it works for other customers, so that we can do a proper 119 release.
Yeah,
Yes.
so far, how did you deal with the you've been cherry picking the file changes, right? 118.
So far, the ZFL changes were some translation stuff, and that has been only in 118, and I haven't cherry picked it forward to 119 yet. Because I've not done that yet.
I think we should be cherry picking to one. Let's make sure everything lands on master, right?
Yeah, otherwise I'm definitely gonna lose
Yeah,
that going forward.
let's not. Yeah, like what I like. I'm less concerned about switching the ZFL guys over to 119 than a situation where we have some stuff in 118 which is in master. That's where insanity lies. Let's never do that. If we've done it, we need to fix that, right? Everything must land on master, and then we can cherry pick to previous releases. So in a way, because it's easier to ensure that we don't break stuff when we have this active development process for Trove, we're testing, Mallory is doing smoke tests and so forth. It's easier to mess stuff than then have like a big merge at some point and just fuck everything up in the new release and spend months trying to get 119 out. So that we definitely need to avoid. So I don't know if there's been already any changes made to 118 which aren't on master, then we need to fix that.
Yep, I will fix that. I've always intended to forward those ones. The reason I did it that way is because I don't have a working development environment. I can't just snap my fingers and spin up something that looks like what ZFL is using. I pointed at SLMP3. And
But that's
so I
fine,
wanted
Jason.
to put translations for the directory. Well,
Sure.
SLMP3 is a 118 system. And so I was doing things with the 118 code base for
Well, but
that
that's what I'm
reason.
saying. It's better if you have a development environment based on master and develop locally and ensure it works locally. And then we can cherry pick to 118 and do the final verification on SLMP
Is
environment.
there a working SLMP environment based on master?
No, but there doesn't have to be. You can cherry pick and then verify. It's okay if you verify locally on master and then there's another
I
round of
can't run it
verification.
locally
Why?
because I don't know how.
You don't know how to run master bench locally?
I don't know how to set it up for SLNP. I don't know how to set up the rookery thingy, but like, yeah, it was just a matter of I wanted the directory populated the way they populate the directory so I could see the things they see. It was just expediency so that I could put the
Sure,
translations where they need to
but
be.
if it makes your life easier, I'm all up for having another SLMP environment based on the master branch. I think we gave it up because we felt it wasn't necessary. I can remember Ian, because we used to have SLMP based on master branches, but then we decided, hey, it's just pointless. Let's just run it from the branch, right?
I think that's what someone asked for. I can verify, but I thought SLMP 1 and 2 were still pulling UI stuff from master, but I can check.
Yeah. So,
Well, I
I
would be
mean,
doing the
the
UI stuff locally anyways in this particular situation. But yeah.
so,
Anyway, that's why I did
but
that.
yeah.
But yeah, I understand that it's not a good thing to do as a matter of course, because yeah, you can lose something. And
Yeah, and
so,
we've seen it already,
yeah, I
right? I
know.
mean, we had
I
some
know.
threaded bugs where stuff just did not land on master. That is just where madness lies. Okay, so the only thing is, think me and David can work with you to get environment in shape. My understanding is, and maybe it's wrong, but my because those things have changed over time, that we have SLMP 1 and 2 based on the on a branch, which is the now happens to be the release branch. And then we have 3 and 4 based on release artifacts, which is the de facto staging environment for ZFL. If that's not correct, then let's yeah, then let well let then let's ask somebody to please answer what do we have right now? Because then I don't know what we have. And maybe there's a case for having another set of environments, which is ZFL configuration across the master branches. So
Let's just get
NFL.
everybody on the release, and then we can have one thing that is master and one thing that is release, and then it's just sane.
Yeah, but that's not going to help you in this case because you don't have a release for Trove yet, right?
I know.
Yeah,
Anyways.
and there's never gonna be a situation like we don't have got some customers on the previous release that don't need some fixes. I don't think that's possible, right?
Well,
That's
previous
weird.
release is fine, but we have three releases in play, which is just ridiculous. Like, there should be current release, next release, and then a small period where there's previous. But
Oh, yeah.
we've really gotten bad at this. The release early, release often thing is not happening for us.
No, that's true. That's true. We need to try to get customers upgraded as soon as possible, right? That's just gonna make our life easier. But we have a situation like if we just limit ourselves to ZFL and Trove, we have a previous release and a current release, which hasn't been released yet. So Trove is on a pre-release. If we feel like we aren't there yet and we should release Trove, let's do it. But I think there's still some pickups that needs to be addressed. So Mallory, I don't know if that's what you referred to with a big update. Was that it? Because at some point we need to release Trove. I mean, we need to release the version that Trove is on as a final release and consider upgrading other customers.
That isn't what I meant, but I think it could be like, yeah, that's like essentially like they want to not have any more upgrades, but there are a few things that we need to get out to them. Like Kurt did this one with the sending patron details to the supplier. Like that's something that they like are kind of requiring, but they want to be like in a what they consider like a stable release. And so, yeah, I think whatever we cut for the next upgrade for Trove would be what I think we could call the 119 release.
Right, we want to get it feature complete.
Right.
And I'm concerned with this sort of assumption that once they're in stable, nothing's gonna change because that means we have hands tied. We don't want that. I don't know who's agreed to it, but I'm gonna strongly push back on that. So let's not agree to this. Let's have a discussion about this because we don't want a situation where one customer tells us you cannot upgrade. We don't want to be spending next 5 years supporting some old version of software. We don't
Well,
have.
you're
We don't.
you get the
No.
release. Yeah.
Sorry. I think I misrepresented. I think they want to be on their stable release for a while, and then U.S. customers, everyone else gets up to 119, and then when we're ready to release 120, they will upgrade to 120. They just don't want, like, it's been 2 weeks and we have more stuff we want to push up. We're going to upgrade prod. Like, can you test this? It's been another 2 weeks. Can you test this and we'll upgrade prod again? Like, they want to just get out of this, like, implementation phase of upgrades. That's all I
Oh,
meant.
yeah, for sure. For sure,
I get
everybody.
that. I get that. And I think when we feel like, okay, we don't have any more, feature changes, we freeze this release. We make it official. At which point we should really start planning upgrading US customers to 119. And then, yeah, I don't know what else we have, but there is, next ZFL project probably coming, right? So that's going to be 120. So we kind of need to factor that in. And I think it's totally fine to agree with the customer when to upgrade their system, their product system to the next version. I'm not saying we should just do it without letting them know, but it needs to happen at some point. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck with 119 forever. We just don't have the cycles for that, right? I mean, we cannot be developing multiple versions of Preshare at the same time with two
Yeah,
people.
we really
No.
should. I think we've made some mistakes here. I think we have made too big of a deal about the versions. We've drawn too much attention to them. And we, same with the upgrades. I think it would be much better if we had maintenance windows, at which point we are free to upgrade every little patch release on every customer as often as every week or something like that in the maintenance windows. And then it becomes a little bit closer to continuous deployment. Not really continuous deployment, but like closer.
I think it's a
So.
tough one if I think about some of the conversations I've heard with the customers, because I think they don't really like behavior of the system changing constantly. They kind of want to have some sense in advance of what's going to happen so that they know from a support perspective what to expect, especially if there are major changes, for what it's worth.
And
Maybe
to be able
the
to
distinction is
communicate.
between major and minor releases that you can have continuous integration on minor updates, but things that change behaviors in ways that where you'd really want to talk to your SMEs or your practitioners, you'd need to do something. Sorry, Marilyn.
That
But
makes
I'm
sense.
thinking about the types, like when I think about the way I've heard it talked about with the customers. And even Alma is only updated, we know now, like once every quarter or something, right?
Yeah, but they
Yeah.
don't like they're a much bigger company, and then the situation where they run different versions for different customers. The customers get the latest, and they need to put up with it.
Yep.
We can have a situation that we promise 12, hey, you're gonna stay on 119 for the next 5 years. I mean, we can have
They have
cycles here.
said that they would like us not to update much more than once every 6 months. That's not the same as 5 years.
So I think that's fine, right? I mean, we
That's
don't
in
really
line with
think
what
of.
we do. I mean, that's based on what we said that we were normally doing with reshare.
Yeah, but I'm set up with Jason for our own sake. It's much easier to maintain a system where you have rolling and frequent updates, like we have with the broker. I mean, there is a reason why I never want to release broker 1.0 if we can, you know, get away with that. Because it's much easier. Just don't change behavior. Add feature class if you change behavior, right? Let's not break shit for customers. But when we have like, you know, bunch of changes piled up, then an upgrade becomes a nightmare, a huge project, basically. And we're gonna have things for customers who want, no matter what. I mean, security upgrades to underlying libraries, Rails framework, like non-functional stuff. Like, what's up with that, right? At some point, somebody from Trust is gonna come back and tell us, hey, this library that you're using is full of vulnerabilities. Like, what are we
Isn't
gonna
some
do?
of what's happened? Reshare is nowhere as bad as Folio, but we've gotten into this mode where a quote unquote release requires substantial manual testing. And that feels like something we're just trying to get out from under with reshare now, where we have more automated testing thanks to the mock in part and people doing more unit tests maybe, but we can kind of trust the things that we push a little more than we have, because at
There's
least in
still
the
no
past,
UI
like
testing.
we've had to do a lot of testing, it felt like. Sorry.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, I think just remember that probably some stuff is easier with the broker because it's just a backend stuff. So we have plenty of integration tests. But the UI,
So
it's get more flaky.
this is something that's kind of been in the back of my head for a while, because it also does seem like there is a pattern. We do an implementation for a customer, and typically, especially if they're larger or somehow different than anyone we've worked with before, like Trove or ZFL, that they necessitate a bunch of changes to the software. And so they almost get their own special version, and everyone else is just kind of cruising along on whatever was stable before. And probably a customer that's just adopting it is going to be interested in the latest and greatest, whereas a customer that's been using it for 5 years or something would be just as well if you just left them alone. And so I'm wondering if we might want to formalize this somehow in two streams where there's sort of a long-term support or an extended support release, and then there is the current stable release. And so in that in our current situation, 1.17 is the stable release. And then 1.18 and 1.19 are these sort of intermediate releases that are being developed with customers in mind. And that we wouldn't even necessarily have to have a specific cadence the way some projects do, where they'll do a stable release every 2 years or something, and they'll have a bunch of ones in between, that kind of thing. But just to, like, for example, if we, it's more important to get ZFL onto 1.19, I think, because then at least we have only one kind of unstable release, and then we're down to two different versions, versus everybody else is on 1.17 because they're already kind of cooked. They've got what they need out of the software, and it's working for them. So rather than having N streams of different versions, that if we could nail it down to there are two, either you are getting the latest and greatest frequent upgrades because you're being integrated or something's happening, or you are now on the stable stream and there are these occasional, yeah, every 6 months or something, upgrades to the system that are announced well in advance and are extra tested and like that kind of thing.
Right. I mean, it's the problem with all of this is that there's two kind of, opposing forces here, right? I mean, we want to be at the cutting edge because that's where we work. That's like we work in master branches. When we need to consider multiple branches of development, then it gets way more hard, shuffling stuff between those branches. Maintaining some old versions and shit. That's so, like, whenever we there's a solution for that, but there is always a cost to pay when we do this. So like our I think from our point of view, from the developers and maintainers point of view, it's best when we have people at the freshest possible versions. For our customers, it's kind of the other way around, right? I mean, they don't want any disturbance, so we kind of need to find like some solution there. I think one of the solutions is to just not break yet, but let's keep them updated if we can, right? So that's where the feature flags go in. You're changing functionality. Let's add some configuration and so forth, so we can actually put the customer the latest version of the software, but not change their behavior. So.
All right. But that also has a cost, right? Because then you have more code to maintain, and then you have to actually develop it in a way where it's possible to have software that can switch between those two modes. So you have to set it up in a way that you can have those conditionals in place. And then you have to decide when you're going to mop it up, because like you don't want to maintain the legacy behavior forever.
Sure, but it's still having a configuration file is less work than having a branch with all the with different profile
Yes,
models.
yes.
Okay. All right, guys. I don't know. Now at some point, we also wanted to just we're running out of time. We're already out of time. But what about Mother OS? I think we wanted to discuss whether there's anything that needs to be upgraded.
I think that's what I think like anything that's more modern us, we should wait until we do like the big last whatever release in the couple weeks when we're done with. There's a few things that Jason's working on. There's a few things that Kurt has worked on as well that can go out, but they're not chomping at the bit for these. Like they're okay to wait.
Oh, that answers my next question. Because I had the So the Mallory and I have been going back and forth a bit on how we're going to handle notices of new supply requests. Because they didn't really need the pull subs, because at that point their pull sub thing wasn't like they didn't even actually choose the item yet. So those weren't going to be the pull subs they were going to use anyhow. And so we kind of decided to use the notification mechanism, but that defaults to the patron email, which definitely isn't what we want. Except for some types of notices that we had with other systems that are using NSIP, where they get new shelving location or something, that always goes to the admin email. And so the decision we've sort of seen as the path of least resistance was to have the new supply request and new expedited supply request notifications be that kind of admin only. So we're not creating this annoying pattern, but we're just going to add to the mess. And so I've implemented that. But I can kind of go one of two ways. I can try to deploy it for the first time on Sydney, Melbourne, and then chase it up with hopefully fewish number of subsequent commits to fix whatever I couldn't run locally, because I don't have a directory on my local modRS. Like, just I don't have a good development environment for Trove either. It always takes time to mess with the development environment. It seems like it's just very fiddly to get things running. But I can spend time and I can try to do that. And I can, like, it doesn't even need to be the proper mock directory. It can just be a static file with a suitable NGINX configuration and a container. And I can rig something up. It's just that will probably be a bit slower, but I'm kind of a little more comfortable with it. So since it sounds like there is no one's chomping at the bit for this, I'm going to do that and actually test this locally, which is also easier because I can tweak the timers in the database so I can have these notifications happening like nearly instantly. Or if you want me to spend even longer, I could actually try to invest some time in getting some better unit and integration tests for the notification stuff, which there's currently like none, along with most of the timer stuff has also limited testing. But I don't know to what extent.
I guess I meant like we're not going to try to upgrade their production environment this week, but like in the next couple of weeks. So like they don't, like I said, they're anxious to be like feel like they're on the on like the last or not last, but
They're on a release instead of on like a
they're
beta that's changing
yeah,
from week to
right.
week.
So yeah, this isn't like a we'll upgrade them when we feel it in a couple months. Like it's like let's do
No, I
one
know. I
last
was
one and
talking in the scale of weeks, right?
okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's slow and fiddly to try to get the development environment doing things, but it's also, yeah, it doesn't take me absolutely forever to tell a copy where
Okay.
something is. So it is just
So
unfortunate though that we don't have scripts, and I still haven't made a Helm chart yet, but it actually seems like the right tool. That like if I could just like run a make file and get a system running locally that reflects the way we have it deployed at ZFL or at Trove or at whatever, that would be really sweet because I currently can't do that and I have to go through hoops to. Basically, it would be really nice for whatever situation comes up to have a minimum of effort to replicate it locally on my development system where I have full control of it.
guys, I just have a quick question. So, Mallory, when you refer to this big update or big upgrade, what do you mean? Like, what was that? There's something discussed? Because, like, we have a bunch of changes, and some of which are like some operational issues, like the fact that the protocol logs are not working on Prose. We have those
Right.
exceptions and so forth. So like we don't want to update that until when?
I think they would like these notice triggers for supply requests, and I think there's one journal type. There's like a something with the publication type that they would like sorted out, but it's not a lot of stuff, but I think then the protocol logs and the not sending patron details. So I think we're close, but with Kurt out, I didn't think we would be ready to do that this week, and also I'm out next week, so I was just thinking that we would have like a little bit more time to finish some things off and then upgrade them.
Okay. No, I think it's fine since Kurt is over and you're gonna be off next week, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's fine to wait, but let's not let them decide when we upgrade prod. I think until we release the sort of the final version or whatever you wanna call it, we need to have the ability to upgrade them because I'll be really like with the poor testing regime that we have in Reshare. I'm really concerned about all those changes that have piled up over the last 3 weeks, and we did not let it run, anywhere. It's gonna be a problem. Like Richard really has bad testing. That's why I would prefer that we continue with this release candidate. We have an upgrade window, agreed with them, and we just go for it. Because granular upgrades, at least that means that we can catch issues early. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't be testing and verifying control tests. We still want to do this, but we don't want to suddenly create a big deal out of upgrading their prod environments.
Right.
I'm concerned with that. So just so you know, I'll actually prefer we, because it's been 3 weeks since we did this, and there is already a lot of comments on the master branch. So it's gonna be 2 more weeks, right? So it's like a month of work, and some pretty serious changes, including this stuff we created with with that exception that broke protocol logs and stuff like that. So yeah, who knows what that can cause, right? So yeah, but okay, let's
Well,
wait since you guys are out. Let's I don't know. So what's the situation on test right now? Did we update test to the to ModRS? No, because that requires a release.
so test is actually lagging behind prod right now, because we and behind dev, because we did some very last minute things to get them released, to get the August 1st release done and out the door. So there's like the dollar sign for requests that are associated with a pay request. Like that's not in Trove test right now, because we were like kind of doing stuff up until like the day before that we had to release for them. And so I guess like maybe by the end of this week, like I don't know if it's possible, but maybe we could upgrade their test environment with whatever we would want, and they could do some testing while I'm out next week. And then maybe we can just like not include any further changes from next week. I don't know. But their Trove test is on a slightly, it's like hasn't, it doesn't have everything that's in prod right now.
Is the
Guys,
UI
we
thing?
can't
I'm pretty
be
sure.
doing that. I'm sorry, and just like let's not do this. This is gonna be a nightmare to untangle. I mean, we really wanted to have this promotion mechanism going, right? We test and test, we release the prods. I mean, we gotta clean that up. We need to put some time to clean this up. Because that's
Can I talk?
sure, go ahead.
It's on ModRS is the same on both environments. Is it like a UI thing or what's missing? I thought I
Oh,
hadn't.
maybe it's just a UI thing. Maybe this
Okay. All
is
right.
just
I'll
the
check
dollar
UI.
sign might be a UI.
Can
Yeah.
you is it something you can confirm that it's still a problem?
That this, like, I'm not seeing this in Trove test. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that and I can message you
Okay.
and just confirm that it's a UIRS
But yeah,
thing.
no need to. Yes, that would be bad if it's like that, and I will fix it. So we don't have to get into it. It's I'll fix it as soon as I can. If it's still lagging, I'm not sure. Just
So, guys, I'm just thinking, would it make sense to make that Smother West release sometime this week? An update test. But wait with updating prods until Mallory and Kurt are back, just so we kind of push at least the staging environment forwards. Maybe have even Trove guys do a little bit of testing there to, you know, to let us know if something is messed up. Or would we rather wait with that Mallory when you get back?
No, I think that could be fine if there's enough stuff to include so that they could do some validation on the stuff that we've already, like I said, like that patron thing. And if Jason, I don't know how long it might take Jason to be able to put the notification triggers in. That would be nice if we could include that.
That's the most pressing one right now, the notification triggers.
Yeah, right now they don't have any, they're not getting pull slip notifications and they aren't getting any, and that's because of the state that requests go into in their system. And so they would, I think the most pressing thing for them is to be able to see that they have new supply requests and also the express requests, the ones that expire in 2 hours. That's one of the other things that Jason has included here, is so that they'll get like a specific alert for those. I think that those would be ideal to include in whatever we're calling their last stable, or you know, their
Never tell them that
sure.
yet.
You
We're
know what I
not there
mean,
yet.
like, but
So that's I'm sorry, Mari. So that's IL dev 182, which is like a to-do, right? That's the create item notification trigger for new supply requests and expedited requests.
this is the one that Jason has done some of the implementation, or has done the implementation but hasn't been able to test it.
It's in progress.
Right, Jason?
Sorry, I
Yeah.
didn't update the status.
Okay. And is there another ticket for the 2 hour? You mentioned two things, right? Or is that just one ticket?
Oh yeah, they're both in this ticket.
Okay. So why don't we plan for the next RC when this is completed and get that deployed on Trove test?
I think that works. I'll just review and make sure I haven't missed anything else, but I think that's the last, like, well, one of the bigger things that they have on their list.
Yeah, especially
So in
that
that,
there's Yeah,
I would
sorry,
say in that
Jason, go ahead.
case, should I do the Ramsons thing for ZFL? Like, should I pivot to do Ramsons as my next priority if once I get the notice thingy? In case that just goes really well and I'm able to do that right away. Seems unlikely.
I'll check in with you, Jason. I just want to make sure I didn't forget anything. Like this one still needs I QA'd this, but it has like an issue I was wondering if you could look into, where it's not updating on the flow screen even if it is correct in the drop down menu. So that might
Oh, right. So it's just
require.
not, yeah, the full screen's just not using the translation. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
an oversight.
But yeah, I'll just triple check with you. But then yeah, the Ramsons thing will probably be the next thing.
Okay. So, all right. So I guess. So that needs to wait for the Ramsons thing, Jason. The Trove thing. The 182.
No, he was
The
asking
what?
what to do after that.
Okay.
Right. I was asking if the Ramsons thing would take precedence over other stuff.
Got it. Okay.
And then maybe we should just move the mod DMS thing out of the sprint because it doesn't look like I'm getting to that anytime soon. I'm doing the ramps upgrade after. If we want to,
Yep.
yeah, if we want to keep Jiro somewhat reflective of reality.
So let,
Okay.
maybe we can just check in on the status on Thursday and see
Sure.
if we think that we're gonna want to do that.
Yeah, it'll probably take me till either the end of Thursday or Friday to get the notification thing sorted.
Cool. Ian, are you happy with that solution? So, like, if when Jason finishes 182, we would make the RC whatever 14 release and put it on test.
Sure, that's fine with me.
Okay. And what about the UI guys? You mentioned that we were kind of
I'm
ahead in
gonna,
thoughts.
yeah,
Yeah,
I'm gonna.
I'll catch it up. I mean, the reason that we got in that state is basically we keep telling them we're going to upgrade before the software is done, and then have all kinds of problems like on the day that we're supposed to deploy it. But yeah, I'll make sure it matches.
Okay, cool. And then Mallory, does it make sense for them to do a little bit of testing while you're gone, or is that just going to be a problem when we put it
I
on
think that the
testing?
I think it's okay for them to do testing while I'm gone. I think that would be good.
Okay. And then when you come back, we can talk a little bit about the results and
Right.
you're gonna decide if it's the time to update prod or not.
That's right.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. All right.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you
Right.
soon.